Hi, I'm John. I am a Sacramento WordPress guru. This is my web design podcast, season one, episode five. This episode will be focused on WordPress plugins. Let's get started. WordPress is a content management system. You generally add a theme of your choosing and then you enhance functionality with plugins. Plugins are small programs that you install via the back end or upload as a file into WordPress, and then they either add functionality or change, or modify, or make functionality that is in WordPress already easier to use. Some plugins are entirely reliant on WordPress. Some plugins bridge the WordPress content management system and third-party websites. So, for example, if you wanted to add a newsletter, you would use a plugin that basically took information entered into your website via a form and sent it to your MailChimp newsletter account. Some cases, like a form, could basically enhance another plugin, or it could be a all-in-one form plugin. So you could theoretically add a plugin to manage forms and then add a plugin to add functionality to a plugin. I know, it's crazy. But here, let's just get to the chase because I'm going to try to make these 10 minutes or shorter. Plugins abuse happens. And what I'm going to try to tell you in 10 minutes is not how to commit plugin abuse. Plugin abuse is not good for anybody, including the visitors of your website. Plugin abuse can cause you problems down the road because plugins can create conflicts amongst themselves, WordPress, and themes if they're abused. And what do I mean by plugin abuse? Number one rule when it comes to plugins, only use the plugins that are absolutely necessary for you to get something done in your WordPress website. If WordPress has the function, attempt to leverage that function organically without a plugin. If the function, for example, a gallery, isn't really up to your snuff, then look for a plugin that modifies the WordPress functionality, makes that easier to use. If you can't find a plugin that uses, for example, the WordPress gallery, at that point, start looking at a plugin that is the gallery that can basically add all the functionality you want. The reason I look at these three levels of plugins, or no plugin, one that modifies WordPress, and then one that is the complete plugin, is for a few simple reasons. Number one, fewer plugins generally mean a faster website. If you can use WordPress without a plugin, you're just reducing the load on your databases in your website, and that generally means your user visitor is going to have a faster experience. Speed is good for your traffic. Number two, if the function in WordPress just is hard to customize because it requires code, then a plugin to modify that function, let's say like a gallery, is perfectly fine. And that way, you're not relying on a plugin to carry all the load. You're basically just using the plugin, let's say, to modify design and layout of a WordPress function, sort of like a theme in that case. But this is a plugin to enhance a built-in function. Finally, if you were to basically pick up a plugin that was the total functionality provider, you have to realize that if the plugin breaks or you delete it, that functionality would go away and any content that relied on that plugin would be gone. Whereas in that middle tier where you're using a plugin to modify existing functionality, the plugin can go away. But let's say you were enhancing a WordPress gallery, you'd still have the gallery. It would be uglier by probably by your standard because it would no longer have the custom features. But in essence, or in theory, everything is there that was important for your gallery. All you'd have to do is find the better, the next plugin, one that offers you more modern features to modify your existing WordPress gallery. and you're good. Here's one other reason. Plugins can conflict with each other. The more plugins you add, the more conflicts you could have. Generally, if you have a problem with a WordPress website, the very first thing you start to do to diagnose the problem is to start disabling plugins. And that could be a pain in the butt if you have a lot of plugins. And you basically have to all of a sudden even look at your website being almost basically crippled up because you have all these plugins that are giving it certain features and you have to disable them and then replicate a problem. Always better, fewer plugins. It's just a better way to go. I've seen websites where once I took over as the manager, I was literally able to delete 20 plugins. Now that website had 38 plugins. I was able to delete 20 of them before anybody started whining. And when somebody was whining, it was because the plugin that I deleted allowed the, it was a what I call a lazy plugin. It was a plugin that they used to do something that they could have just done with cut and paste. And so, you know what? In the end, I won because the plugin wasn't necessary. And the point was to improve the performance of the website, which meant 20 plugins went away. Website improvements drastically improved, and it improved a lot of metrics that made people stick around a little bit longer. That's a whole nother story when we get into SEO, search engine optimization. So how do you pick plugins? Well, I'll tell you how I pick plugins. I pick plugins based on what I really want to do with the website. And if I find I can't do it with the core WordPress program, then I think about a plugin. Therefore, my websites generally start with a form plugin, then they start with a security plugin, and then they start with a performance enhancing plugins such as ones that do caching or offer connections to content delivery networks like Cloudflare. And then I might actually have a plugin that helps basically fine-tune and measure the performance of my writing, which would be which I'll go right now. I'll start with that one. So I went backwards, but we'll start with the performance of the writing of the content, because WordPress's power tool is it's a publishing platform extraordinaire. You use it to publish content. Content is what is the honey of a website. And you're trying to attract the exact bee to pollinate your flower. So Yoast SEO doesn't fix any SEO problems, but it is a program that understands the metrics of user interaction when it comes to reading content, and then how Google looks at that user interaction and the content. So Yoast SEO, that's an automatic. And I tell people, learn to use the free version before you opt for the pro one. You can do about everything you need on the free version. Now I'm going to skip around here to other plugins. You need a contact form plugin, one that is easy to integrate in any page of your website that looks good. I tend to use professional contact forms, which I use Gravity Forms. And my websites tend to have a contact form at the bottom of the homepage because I want people to be able to make the decision to reach out to me immediately. Then I use a plugin for security. And the security plugin are designed to basically look out for my website, alert me to the bad behavior of the users or hackers, and also defend against what we call brute force attacks. Brute force attacks are pretty, it's a deep subject. So we have, right now we have your writing, your form, you have your security, then the other plugins, basically are designed for performance. They're not really necessary immediately, but if you have a lot of content and a lot of features, you're going to want to manage your performance. And then there's a lot of plugins that you can use to enhance your website. But the fewer is always the better side of that. Thank you very much.